Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. I need to repeat something I said last week, which is that I am hoping to do a survey at some point, but don't wait for that. Let me know you're out there. Let me know if you like Catholic Sports Radio and what it's doing for you in your faith life. Maybe an interview you heard that really touched you, maybe something that you've changed because of something you heard from me or a guest. What am I doing that you like and wish I would do more of? What am I doing that you don't like and wish I would stop doing? What am I not doing that you wish I would do? I do truly want to hear from you. Write to bruce@catholicsportsradio.net or even DM me through the @CathSportsRadio Instagram account or send a private message through the Facebook page. There are links to those social media accounts and Twitter as well on the show website, catholicsportsradio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. With tonight's Denver Broncos-Seattle Seahawks game, we wrap up week one of the 2022 National Football League regular season. It has practically become a year-round league of sorts, at least in terms of the continuous news cycle that keeps those who report on that league talking about teams, players, coaches, the draft, the combine, and more. Certainly once it gets to training camp and the preseason, the talk really heats up. And then there's the buildup to the start of the games that count. Along with that, fans start adjusting their schedule just so they can make sure they can drive to the stadium, tailgate in the parking lot, sit and watch the game in person, and then drive back home, only to either do it all over again the following week or make a whole event out of watching on TV as their team plays on the road. So with this comes the need for the priest to keep the homily short and get the congregation out of church in a timely fashion so football fans can get home in time for the game, right? Think of the opposite of all that for a minute. Wouldn't it be something if that much time and energy and planning went into investing in being in God's house with no regard for how much of the day is actually getting consumed by that one activity? What if the football game was the hurry up and move this along activity? Which one has become the bigger priority? It's here that we dig into the Old Testament and read in Exodus chapter 20 about the Ten Commandments, and specifically verse 8, "Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy." Friends, while the invitation is certainly there for daily Mass, let's reflect on our Sundays and whether we are worshiping at the banquet table of Roger Goodell and the National Football League or our Father in Heaven. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest played college basketball at Villanova, including playing with the Wildcats for the national championship and being chosen by the Boston Celtics in the NBA draft. He would go on to become an assistant coach for men's basketball at Villanova, and nowadays is a professor in the Theology Religious Studies department there. At one point, he was director of the Center for Sport, Spirituality, and Character Development at Newman College, where he also served as the chaplain for the men's basketball team. And did I mention that he's also a former priest? Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Ed Hastings.
Thank you, Bruce. Nice to be with you.
Thank you, Ed.
Thank you. I appreciate that intro.
If you put me on the spot and said, why, who else? Of course, I would draw a blank, but nonetheless, wow, it seems like I've had a handful of guests on this show who were born and raised in Philadelphia and still live there today. I'm thinking you're going to paint a picture for us of some real solid family roots in the city of brotherly love, yes?
Yes, I would say for sure. So I'm the oldest of a family of six. I have one brother and four sisters. And I grew up in Philly. In our family, which was very much, honestly, an Irish Catholic family. I had two uncles that were priests, and actually one of them played basketball at Notre Dame. But I had two uncles that were priests, so that they were certainly mentors for me. Absolutely, they were. And Catholicism was a big part of my growing up. very much so.
Wonderful, wonderful. With all that I read in the intro that you did in basketball, is it possible that you played anything else, or was it always just that one sport for you, presumably from a young age?
Well, actually, that's a good question, because my favorite sport is baseball. Hmm. I played baseball. I don't even remember learning how to throw a baseball. Baseball, I played all the way through high school, and football, I played actually all the way through high school. So I did play other sports. It wasn't until Villanova that I just focused in upon basketball.
Wow. Okay. You attended Monsignor Bonner High School, obviously Catholic.
Right.
Before we start getting into all the faith and sports mix that you've so firmly taken the reins of, help us out with the timeline of when you became a priest, because I don't think you graduated from Bonner and went right into the seminary, being that I talked about your having played for Villanova.
Right. So after I graduated from Bonner, I went to Villanova to play, and I did go to Villanova to play basketball. Honestly, that's the truth. and it wasn't until after I graduated from Villanova that I coached for 1 year at Villanova, and then I went in the seminary. So that would have been 74, 75 that I entered the Augustinian novitiate in New Hamburg, New York.
And over what period of time did all this take place in terms of going through the seminary, becoming a priest, and then at some point, obviously, leaving the priesthood? How many years did all of that encompass?
I was ordained in 83, and I served at Merrimack College. It was an Augustinian college up in North Andover, Massachusetts. And I also came back to Villanova and worked at Villanova as a priest, as an Augustinian priest. So I left the priesthood in probably 98, 99.
Wow.
So I was ordained for roughly 18, 19 years. I was an Augustinian for 24, 25 years.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know if I should ask you to share with the audience about when a young man feels the call to the priesthood, or if I should ask you about the decision to leave the priesthood. So I'll let you have your pick, unless you want to address both.
Well, I'll start with the first one, which is what led me to the Augustinians. I had a lot of good friends that were priests and Augustinians, and I think I always had a sense there's something deeper about life, and, you know, probably from my family, and I also had a sense that that my relationship with God was very important to me, and I thought I would be someday that I would be able to preach and to talk to people about their relationship with God. That mm-hmm. that was always interesting to me. So mm-hmm. Fast forward to why did I leave? Why I left was really celibacy. That was the issue.
Okay.
For me.
Okay.
That was primary the issue. Yeah.
Well, if this was a traditional sports show, it would be predictable for me to ask you about the Final Four, playing for a national championship, all that obvious stuff. But
right.
Talk instead about some real adversity that you were hit with in your sophomore year playing at Villanova and what that experience led to.
Yeah, that's a good question. So we couldn't play as freshmen. You know, that's hard to believe now. But our freshman year, we had a freshman team. So it wasn't until my sophomore year that I was competing for a starting position on the Villanova team. And I knew we were going to be really good. So I was a point guard. And I really wanted to be the starting point guard on that team. And it came down to I was competing with my brother-in-law. It was now my brother-in-law. We were roommates, arch rivals in high school. And we knew we were going to be really good. So it came down to that, and he won it, actually. Mm. But then what was happening later, like maybe the sixth or seventh game of that season, I was starting second half and moving towards starting. So my brother-in-law was more of a shooting guard than I was. I was a point guard. So what was happening is that another guy was moving out and I was moving into the starting position, and Tom was moving, my brother-in-law was moving into the shooting guard position. Anyway, so I was starting second half and about to be starting, and I got hurt. And that was devastating to me. Believe me when I tell you, Bruce, that there was nothing more important to me than basketball and starting on that team. And so my whole world was wrapped around that. And so I tore my ACL.
Wow.
It's a little bit longer story than that, but I won't delay it. I tore my ACL.
Wow.
You know, I still remember one thing. I do remember the doctor, and in that time, this was 1971, they really couldn't do anything. Now they're replacing ACLs. Now he just opened me up and saw that it was torn and said, closed me up and said, well, you know, we opened you up and said that this looks bad. And he said to me after the operation, it's worse than we thought. You have a 50-50 chance of ever playing again. I was like, oh my God. That was crippling for me.
I'm sure.
You know, with my whole world was involved in playing on this team, and we knew we were really going to be good, and we went to the national championship, but we lost. So, and I thought I was bombarded by questions like, why me? Why did this have to happen to me? Not that I would wish for something to happen to one of my teammates, but why did this have to happen to me? And now, so that was really hard for a 19, 20 year old, 21 year old to kind of put that in and say, how do I deal with this? You know, and I may not ever play again. That was the question, you know, is bad enough now. Anyway, so having looked back on that, not so, you know, my area is really spirituality. My degree is in spirituality from Duquesne University. And one of the things that they taught us there, and there's a big part of spirituality, is looking back, reflecting back on experiences. So, whereas that was the worst thing for me at that particular moment in my life.
Sure.
It really crippled me in a lot of different ways. But looking back on it now, I think I would say it was a good thing for me. You know, that's I would never have said that at the time.
Of course.
I would never have said it. But now as I look back, I say I gained things that I would never have been able to been a part of, relationships, maybe awareness about what life is really about, you know, and so it really did force me, this young kid coming out of high school, to say, well, you know, maybe basketball is not the most important thing. And I wasn't ready to answer that question like that at that particular time.
But, of course.
You know, and I would say to get real theological, because I also teach theology at Bonnell, but it was an experience of the Paschal mystery for me. That's, you know, heavy language, but, you know, suffering, whereas nobody's really looking for it, I wasn't looking for it, it can be transformative if we are patient and believe things will work out in the end. And I think that, anyway, that's my story.
Well, it sounds like, as you said, in retrospect, you realized that your identity, our identity, is not in basketball. Our identity is not in sport. And so it was important that you did go through that, even though, as you said, you wouldn't have known it at the time. One more question from your past before we talk about present day.
Sure.
I mentioned the work you used to do at Newman College, but I would love for you to share with the audience about the chaplain work specifically, because that's an element of the sports faith mix that I really feel the general public doesn't get to hear enough about at all. Talk about those student athletes and the ministry work that can be done with them, as was the case with you at Newman.
Yeah, that's I got it. I really enjoyed that work as a chaplain for the men's basketball team at Newman's. And why? Well, it gave me the opportunity to be part of a basketball team. And also, the role of the chaplain is not to coach. You know, obviously, that's not it, but to be supportive, and to be supportive of those young people who are going through all kinds of different things that they don't know how to deal with, like I was myself, you know, way back in Villanova. And to be able to have the opportunity to be with them, to just maybe just listen to them about what is it like getting hurt? What is it like not starting? What is it like being depressed? What is it like having mental health issues, being depressed or having family issues or all kinds of things that especially, I don't want to just speak from a male perspective, but as a male, we tend to keep things in. And we're also kind of told, you know, don't act like you have any problems. Just give this impression that everything's together. And that's not true. And so the chaplain on a team is in my experience, was there to help, just have to listen to somebody, some of those players, and get some of their stuff out rather than keep it in. So it was mainly what I enjoyed about it was a very supportive role that I had on those teams. And I think a chaplain can provide opportunities for people to not hold on to their issues and maybe just have an opportunity to talk about what's going on in their lives.
Yeah,
so that was really enjoyable. And, you know,
dare I say that unlike perhaps a sports psychologist, a chaplain, of course, could do everything that you're describing in a prayerful way.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I would probably, that was actually before every game, I would do a prayer for the team. Hmm. And sometimes I would take them on to experiences of serving in the local community and do some reflection around that. And I always found that as, you know, kind of a service learning experience and like a soup kitchen experience, and then be reflective about that. And I was, and I really enjoyed those moments.
Wow. Wow. I like it. I like it. I said that we would get to present day, and folks, I learned that Ed has his students read the sports page every day, but with an eye for something specific. Before I ask him about that, I have to make sure that I publicly thank Dan Venezia, the guest from 5 weeks ago on episode 184. I'm pretty sure he said on that interview that he was going to do so, but he did, in fact, make a financial contribution to my Catholic Sports Radio ministry. Of course, I was in touch with him personally upon receiving that to express my gratitude and to ask his permission to say his name on the air. But I want to acknowledge that here because of how much encouragement that gives me. And yes, by all means, every dollar helps relative to the expenses that I'm challenged with in doing this. I am honest to a fault, transparent, to use a real buzzword these days, and share openly that it is difficult for me to pay the bills that are part of operating Catholic Sports Radio on and off the air, especially since I don't get any income from doing this, nor do I have any sponsors. Nonetheless, if I give up, Satan wins and we all lose. I'm working to give back with my time and talent and honor God and the calling that He laid upon me, all with the aim of moving more people closer to Christ. And I'm not going to impact anyone's faith life if I decide to pack it in because the bills are piling up. No amount is too big, no amount is too small. As I ask you, please, I sincerely hope that you'll prayerfully consider what you can do to help financially with what I'm doing here. It's as easy as using the blue Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net, which is secure, and you simply type in whatever amount you're comfortable with giving. There's no drop-down menu of amounts to choose from. That is how Dan Venezia sent me his contribution. Or if you're not comfortable with electronic payments, just send me an email via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net, and I will write you back with details on sending me a check through the mail. As you're hearing me do, as far as Dan Venezia on this episode, I will happily say on the air the name of anyone who contributes, regardless of the amount, or as some have asked me to do, you can instead choose to remain anonymous. I'm truly grateful to everyone who listens, and I appreciate whatever you can do to help me to continue working to move more people closer to Christ through this ministry. Ed, what about that assignment, telling your students to read the sports page every day? Share with the audience the part that I left out about what you're asking them to look for in it.
Well, you know, so as you said that, I'm thinking, I'm getting ready to go to class right now. You know, I've gone over, and the first class I have is sports and spirituality. And I think you can do that if you know what you're looking for. That is a deeper sense of life that's revealed in sports all the time. We don't always think of it that way. So I looked at the sports page today, and there were three or four stories. But the one I'm going to talk about today, and I want to do it myself and then have them start looking for it. I'm an Eagles fan, Philadelphia Eagles fan, and Brandon Graham, who plays for the Eagles, has had a really, really great career for the Eagles, but he's had some real difficult issues. You know, he's a number one pick and was not successful really in his first 4 years with the Eagles, and had to really stay positive, and it was hard for him to stay positive. And just recently, he tore an Achilles, and he won the Super Bowl. A case could be made when they beat the Patriots with Tom Brady. I think it was 2017. It's hard to believe it that long ago. He, you know, got a turnover at the end. He sacked Tom Brady, and they got a fumble, and that was really what primarily helped them win that game. But anyway, after his Achilles, he's coming back from an Achilles injury, which is a difficult recovery. And the story is, how does he remain so positive? And he just talks about it's a mindset. He's learned through difficult experiences that the best thing he can do is to stay positive. It's easy to slip into negativity, like, why does this happen to me? Kind of like what I went through. And it's just highlighting, because there's an Eagles starter, wasn't a starter, but another first-round pick, Andre Dillard, who plays on the offensive line, just broke his arm. And Brandon Graham has been an inspiration to Andre Dillard to come back from his injury, and that's in the sports page today.
Wow!
I mean, literally today.
Yeah.
So I think what I want to say, Bruce, if you know what you're looking for, a certain depth to life, how to get through good and bad moments, because it is that, and teach that. I would say, through the grace of God, things will work out no matter what.
But I want to actually kind of continue this train of thought, because even though we're talking about asking the students specifically to read the sports page and look for spirituality, I would love to hear your thoughts about the experience of being a sports fan. How can that help someone get further connected to God?
Reason I'm laughing is I am as I said, I grew up playing baseball primarily, and I'm a Philadelphia Phillies fan. You know, that's honestly, I'm a Flyers fan, a Sixers fan, Eagles fan, but I love baseball. So, as a fan, it's hard to, and the Phillies have not been in the playoffs for 11, 12 years, and it's hard. I can get down on the team. Our bullpen tends to mess up frequently in late innings. Yeah, I can laugh at it, but honestly, my wife says, "Why do you take it so seriously?" But I do. You know, I really do, and I think there's a part of me, and this kind of goes back to our first where we first started talking. Being a Philadelphia Phillies fan, it's in my family. You know, I grew up listening to games with my grandmother and my parents. So there's something, I would say, now this is maybe a little bit heavy here, but there's something transcendent. There's a deep connection with my family roots and as a fan. And I could make a case for that, and probably can't quite do that in the time allotted on this radio show now. But there's something deep in my, so I would like, I don't go to bed, unless the Phillies are playing on the West Coast, without knowing how they did a particular night. Now they're in the wild card hunt right now. So I being a fan, I feel like I'm almost as much a part of it as when I was playing basketball. So it's still, you know, keeps me in the game. It keeps me watching. And I very much take it seriously, maybe too seriously.
Well, this is about the point where someone, a doubting Thomas, if you will, is probably thinking, okay, guys, come on, aren't you taking this a little too seriously? After all, it's sports. Someone's going to win and someone's going to lose.
That's right.
But Ed, you have some thoughts, I know, on lessons that come out of winning and losing that are not X's and O's of the game lessons.
Well, you know, I say this to my students, and they may think I'm exaggerating, but one of the lessons that as you asked me that question, I know for sure, Bruce, that I've learned more from losing in my life than I have from winning. Now, I've been a part of some pretty good wins. I have. But I know it's the losses, you know, the overtime losses, difficult losses that have that stick for me. And I know, having been doing this sports and spirituality for a while, that those kinds of moments can be revelatory for us. That can, in a good sense, humble us and show us that I can't do it all by myself. And sometimes it doesn't always work out. And, you know, I don't always, my team doesn't always win. I don't always win, but I know, and looking back, and believe me, there are certain moments, my wife kind of makes fun of me, when I there's certain losses that I know what the score was, I know who was on the floor, I know when it was, that stick with us. And if we can stay with those painful moments, they can, without getting too dramatic, they can be revelatory of how God works on our lives. If we can reflect back, we usually don't want to go back to them because they're too painful. You know, I don't want to, you know, I'll talk to students, or not just students, people don't want to go back to the losses because they think, oh, that was way, way too painful. But we can learn maybe most from those moments. They can teach us, as I was saying, you know, it's not all about me, or I can't do it all. I can't control things, and it's okay even when I don't get what I want. Things will work out. So,
well,
I hope that answers your question.
I think what I'm also hearing is that, yes, some of those losses are very difficult in the moment, and probably even still looking back at some point in time.
Yes.
But we also realize that, okay, let's say that that had been a victory and not a defeat, then what? And when you look at the ultimate victory, which is Jesus' death on the cross, the victory over sin and death, you think, okay, maybe that kind of puts in perspective what that accomplished versus, okay, let's say we look back and we say we won that game instead of we lost it. Well, what does that mean to me 20 years later, different from what Jesus' crucifixion means to us all these years later? And so that is a loss that you can take something extremely positive from.
Yeah. We can't, as I was saying, we can't control things, and things don't always work out the way we want them. And I think that is honestly the message of the cross. That is, no matter what happens, even how we're struggling and get lost, that if we can have faith in the midst of that, there can be resurrectional moments, and Jesus leads the way for that.
Well, as we head into the home stretch here, I want to revisit, having mentioned in the intro that you were chosen by the Boston Celtics in the NBA draft. In other words, I didn't say he enjoyed a long career in the NBA after having been drafted by the Boston Celtics. While I'm sure you would have loved for that to have been the case, can you give us the view of the joy that can be found in a sports-related career that doesn't involve playing in the pros, and the hearts that you will be able to touch by not hitting a game-winning basket, but by the work that you do that we've been hearing about in this conversation?
Now, just to kind of reiterate what you said, I did want to play in the pros. I'll just make that clear. I didn't have the opportunity. I got drafted late, way late. But I just want to say I would love to have played there. But learning are there other ways where you can make a contribution in sports without being a coach or a player in the pro ranks? I think so. I think that what's always been interesting to me, I'm thinking about, I wrote my dissertation at Duquesne University on spirituality of competition. And that kind of whetted my appetite to be able to look more deeply at sports. And I very much treasure being with probably half the people I teach in that sports and spirituality class now at Villanova are athletes. To be able to help, to be with them, to listen to the great things that can happen and the difficult things that can happen, and to be able to rejoice with them and just listen to them and give them the opportunity to relish what they're doing, but also to help them to be with them and when things don't work out for them. And I very much enjoy that. You know, I think that's one of the things I really enjoyed about being a priest was to be with people, good and bad, and to be, give people the opportunity to reflect on their lives and to share in their happy moments, but also to be with them in their difficult times. So that's what sports and spirituality has been primarily for me. Give them eyes to see the good that can be there in sports. You know, people can knock sports, and I get that, betting and, you know, all kinds of things that go, recruiting issues in sports. There's bad stuff there. There's no doubt, but it can be, if we look at it properly, I would say, there's some really good things that are there too.
Yeah, and thank you for sharing that testimony, because the audience is probably over me saying so many times that sports are great, and there are a lot of great qualities about sport. I'm thinking about things like physical fitness and teamwork and learning good sportsmanship. Uh-huh. However, we worship God and God alone. And so, yes, I want to make clear, I am a huge, huge, huge sports fan, and I worked in sports for many, 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 many years. So when I say that, I say it in the context of someone who is very, very rabid for his local sports teams, the pro teams.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I think it does help to hear this perspective of course you would have loved to have played for the Celtics, but it doesn't mean that you haven't been able to experience joy through sports in a different form. And I think this is where I should mention that I think you've coined the term sportuality. Yes.
Right. Yes. Yeah. That's a combination of spirituality and sports. And yeah, that was a while ago, but yes, I did.
Well, I'm always happy to close by hearing about a guest's family and, if you're comfortable, home parish. Before we wrap up, can we hear about the Hastings family, wife, children, maybe grandchildren, and where you attend Mass regularly?
Sure. Myself and my wife, we have two kids, and our daughter just recently gave birth to a little boy, Andrew, and we are head over heels, honestly, over this little one. And yes, believe me, my wife is up there right now. We very much enjoy that little one. I forget what was the second part of your question, Bruce?
Where you attend Mass regularly.
Okay. It would be up in Villanova. You know, we live 5 minutes from Villanova, so we go up there. There are Augustinians up there. There are people that I know very well. Actually, the president of Villanova is a good friend of mine, and they preside up there. So we go up there. That's our parish.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Ed, so great to have you on the show. Thank you. I appreciate you making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio, and God bless you and your family.
Thank you, Bruce. It's a pleasure to be here.
And folks, let us close this week's episode with our sportsman's prayer. And obviously, we start together in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, you have blessed us with our minds, our spirits, and our bodies. Help us always to be good sports. Help us to understand that when we put on the team uniform, we are first and foremost ambassadors of the Catholic faith. May we always remember that those with whom we play and compete are our brothers and sisters in Christ. May we always treat each other with dignity and respect. May our work and play always give you honor and glory. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.